You're listening to The Voice of Russia in Washington. I'm Kim Brown. Well, are Americans too dumb for democracy? Well, this is a question and the result of a study that was conducted by a group of psychologists under Dr. David Dunning of Cornell University. And it is also the topic of an article that appears on TheAmerican.com, which is the Journal of the American Enterprise Institute Online, written by Lee Harris. So we do have on the line with us, Lee, good morning, and thank you for being with us today.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for asking me.
Lee, this is a very interesting read regarding if Americans are too dumb for democracy. And I'm curious as to why you chose to write about this topic. Was it the result of the Cornell University study that you referenced?
No, that was more or less the occasion that sparked it. This is something I've been thinking about for quite some time. My last book dealt with it extensively in terms of the challenge of modernity and its effect on complicating decision-making processes that are required in a thriving democracy.
What I wanted to ask was, because in the study that you referenced through Cornell University, conducted by Dr. David Dunning, he did conclude that, quote, and you reference this in your article, that very smart ideas are going to be hard for people to adopt because most people don't have the sophistication to recognize how good an idea is. Are we at a point now, in your opinion, that the American electorate is generally not informed sufficiently about the topics and the issues that they are sent to the polls to vote upon?
Well, yes. I mean, let's take a question like an economic idea. This is the kind of question that people are concerned about, that they vote, they go to elections to vote on. But the question is, how can you tell when an economic idea is good? You can tell whether an economic idea sounds good, but the only way you can tell if an economic idea is in fact good is to see whether it works or not. And that is a test. When you implement an economic program and you see it fail, then virtually everyone in the society above an IQ of 80 can figure that out for themselves. The problem is that an idea can sound extremely good on paper in theory, and yet turn out not to work at all in practice. We're very familiar with this kind of this kind of problem. So what I'm getting at here is that I refer to the fact that specialties have become so highly complicated, and that one person who's a specialist, let's say an expert in physics, is not capable of judging whether someone else is an expert in economics, except by looking at the kind of things we can all look at. Does this guy go to a prestigious school? Has he won, awards and things like that? But that's general knowledge that really anyone can figure out. But once we have established that someone has, the credentials to be an expert, we haven't established whether his ideas are in fact smart ideas. I mean, there's an ambiguity in the very, very concept of a smart idea, which is that an idea, once again, can sound smart in theory, and everyone who's familiar with the field from which the idea comes can say, yes, this sounds good. But the only real test is how it works in practice. Now, when you're dealing with the recommendations of an engineer who's building a bridge, we can basically trust the engineer to say the bridge will need this kind of requirements, this kind of span requires this kind of, cantilever, et cetera, et cetera. And we can trust his judgment. When it comes to the really important issues that face a democracy or any political society, like the economy, like issues of immigration, all sorts of issues, these are really beyond the kind of hard science that we can trust. They fall off into things like psychology, sociology, which are the softer sciences and which, by definition, cannot yield the same kind of certitude or exactitude that the hard sciences can.
So as we bring this back around to whether or not Americans are too dumb for democracy, does this really have more to do with Americans as a whole being able to shape and form their own opinions based on legitimate fact or perhaps based on people who opine in media outlets and who are very good at being persuasive with their arguments, but perhaps in their arguments not being based in facts, in indeed these so-called experts adhering to a particular ideology, which happens to shape people's opinions who may not either have the intelligence or even more so may not even have the time to fully investigate an issue and judge for themselves.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. The problem is that experts fall into the same kind of thinking, herd thinking, that ordinary people do. That, and this is a common phenomenon that's been around for centuries, is that you have schools of thought that arise, and they believe they have the answer, the silver bullet to problems. Oftentimes, when these schools get power and able to influence the society, it turns out their silver bullets are duds, as we know from any number of experiments. So the question is, once again, the experts themselves may have smart ideas, but it doesn't mean their ideas work in practice.
So,
but it's obvious that the average American really cannot. You cannot expect the average citizen of any country to master fields of economics, fields of anthropology, et cetera, in order to make informed decisions. And you mentioned the idea of facts. Facts are very notoriously slippery things. As you know, from any time you've read a debate on any subject, you have experts appealing to one set of facts, interpreting them a certain way. The experts on the other side appealing sometimes to the very same facts and interpreting them in their way. So you just merely going to an expert does not mean you're going to get a definitive answer that other experts will agree with. Experts disagree among themselves.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to ask you this, Mr. Harris, as well. How much of Americans' ability to judge correctly or incorrectly about a particular issue, perhaps even about a particular political candidate, how much does this have to do legitimately with level of education? We do know that in a variety of topics, ranging from geography to math to history, Americans as a whole, especially American students, have continued to slide down the scale of the top tested in the world, especially among Western industrialized first world nations. How much does our ability to judge and to execute our democracy to a high level, to an effective level, have to do with our level of public education diminishing?
Well, yes, we are behind other countries in the world, but at the same time, we still rank very high in terms of our university education. So we have probably one of the best educated elites that in the world. There's no question about that. The question, I see it, is getting the elites to recognize the need to speak and explain themselves to the average guy, and to do it in a way that kind of makes sense to them. Basically, the problem I think we need to all face is that there is no magic formula for putting wise men into power. Going back to Plato and Socrates, there has been this ongoing philosophical debate of how do you get the wise man to rule. And it's not easy to figure out who the wise men are. Traditionally, societies have kind of set up a class of people who they regarded as wise men. But the wise man is not the same thing as the expert. The wise man doesn't necessarily know all the facts and all the data that the expert makes. But the wise man makes good decisions. And that's the problem, is how do you put into power people that know more than we do, but are also wiser than we are, and can make decisions that oftentimes we need to make, but we're reluctant to make. For example, like raising taxes or something to deal with a deficit. This is something that we may not want, but we need to have somebody come along to say and just explain it in a wise way that this is what we might need for future generations.
So, is a lot of how we are judging issues, is it more subjective than to say that an issue or a particular position on an issue is dumb or wise? Is really history going to be the best barometer as to whether or not good decisions are being made in our democracy now?
It's the only one. It is the only reliable test, and that's the tragedy of human existence in many ways, is that people who... Okay, there are people who simply do today what was done yesterday, the traditional societies. Okay, traditional societies basically roll along until an overwhelming challenge comes up, which they cannot meet. But in a non-traditional society, you're always trying to innovate, you're always trying to change things. But these innovations and changes are always kind of steps into the unknown. no matter how well reasoned the argument is to make such a change, the change itself will always be a step into the unknown. Take an issue like Obamacare. If Obamacare is ruled constitutional, nobody is really quite sure what the effects of Obamacare will be. Whether we actually make insurance more affordable or whether we'll go the exact opposite way. We don't know at this point. And you have experts arguing either way, on both sides of the fence. Which expert do you trust on this? The only expert really in the last analysis, as you say, is history. How will it turn out? And as you know, that history, there's a famous law of unintended consequences, is anytime you implement a change, there's always going to be something you forgot about that suddenly rears its head and poses a problem. So that once you've cured this problem, but the cure itself has produced a new set of problems.
The article is, Are Americans Too Dumb for Democracy? I definitely encourage everyone to go to the Journal of the American Enterprise Institute's website and check this out. We've been speaking with Lee Harris. He's the author of The Next American Civil War, Civilization and Its Enemies, and The Suicide of Reason. Lee, we appreciate you joining us this morning. It was a fascinating discussion.
Well, thank you for asking me.